ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रीहरिं परमानन्दम् उपदेष्टारमीश्वरम् व्यापकं सर्वलोकानां कारणं तं नमाम्यहम् अपरोक्षानुभूतिर्वै प्रोच्यते मोक्षसिद्धये सद्भिरेव प्रयत्नेन वीक्षणीया मुहुर्मुहुः स्ववर्णाश्रमधर्मेण तपसा हरितोषणात् स्ववर्णाश्रमधर्मेण तपसा हरितोषणात् साधनं प्रभवेत् पुंसाम् वैराग्यादिचतुष्टयम् ब्रह्मादिस्थावरान्तेषु वैराग्यं विषयेष्वनु यथैव काकविष्टायाम् वैराग्यं तद्धि निर्मलम् नित्यमात्मस्वरूपं हि दृश्यं तद्विपरीतगम् एवं यो निश्चयः सम्यक् विवेको वस्तुनः स वै Beginning with the benediction, the author of this book enters into, Shankara Bhagavatpada enters into the presentation of Anubandha Chatushtayam, the four factors involved in the textbook, right in the textbook, such as Vishayaha, Adhikari, Sambandha and Phalam. Mainly Sambandha, he doesn't discuss much. He presents other three factors. And thereafter, he straight away starts discussing the fourfold qualifications that a student should have in order to be qualified for this knowledge. And he presents these qualifications in introduction to Aparokshanubhuti. Aparokshanubhuti textbook begins with an introduction. The text itself presents an introduction. An introduction involves what? This fourfold qualification. So we are still, and the introduction goes up to the 12th verse. I mean, up to the 12th verse, the qualifications are discussed. And in the 4th and the 5th verses, we have seen the first two qualifications, Vairagyam and Vivekaha. Vivekaha, discriminative knowledge of Atma and Anatma, that first qualification alone will help one to have dispassion towards other things by having the passion, great passion for knowledge of the truth. So the vairagyam will not be possible if there is no viveka. The discriminatory knowledge is not there. Even though author presents the qualifications differently, we have to remember, in Tattva Bodha, vivekaha is the first qualification actually. Then, at vairagyam, second qualification. Second means it's all simultaneous, but still, what is it really helps one to have dispassion towards other pursuits? It is his passion for knowledge. See, passion for anything will hold the attention totally for itself. Attention is totally given to one thing, and the attention being not available for everything else is what actually dispassion. So dispassion is towards any worldly pursuit is possible only if there is passion is for knowledge. And the passion for knowledge is possible only if there is vivekaha, discriminative knowledge. As a discriminative knowledge of what is permanent and what is impermanent, that's possible. So then the third qualification of sixfold disciplines, subsidiary disciplines or subservient disciplines, the sixfold disciplines are discussed in the three verses, 6th, 7th and 8th. And we have seen Shamaha, Dhamaha, and we entered into Uparamaha last time we stopped. But the speciality of this textbook is what Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada, he talks little differently about Shamaha. Differently means, even though they actually what you understand is the same thing, he instead of saying, no, mano nigraha shamaha, no, disciplining of the mind is shamaha. Mental discipline is called shamaha. Or mastery over the ways of thinking is shamaha. Thoughts is shamaha. But here, instead of saying mano nigraha or vritti nigraha, he says vasanatyagaha. What is shamaha? Vasanatyagaha. And vasana, this word vasana, you heard when I did this Drishya Vivekaha also. Vasana is an impression of in the mind. The thought in a dormant form is called vasana. When we discuss about this swapna avastha, I said already the thoughts, the swapna is nothing but replaying of the thoughts coming into manifestation. Thoughts being manifest, isn't it? The whole dream world is a manifestation of thoughts, which are already there. And whatever you dream, they're all thought only, manifest thought only. Those thoughts actually, where were they before they came into manifestation, before they become manifest as dream? The thoughts are manifest dream is nothing but thought, and the thought was already there, dormant in your mind. That dormant thought is called vasana. The dormant thought is caused by what? Your previous perceptions and actions and associations, interactions and experiences. So past experiences, old perceptions, interactions, all those things really cause vasanas, mental impressions. A samskaraha also you can say. The word samskaraha literally means some refinement. But here we hear samskara, another word to use to mean the vasana. Vasana is the subtle, much subtler impressions which go and remain in your subconscious in dormant form is called vasana. Any experience, any action done once really causes what? These vasanas. But the vasanas, they remain dormant. But some given time, a given situation, those vasanas are activated. That's the order involved in the mind, function of mentation. So the vasanas are activated, and the vasanas are activated and they surface as thoughts. How do the thoughts arise? Rising of thoughts is because of the activation of vasanas. And thoughts arise and actually they impel you, the thoughts impel you to do certain actions. And those actions, when every day are regularly done, become the habit. Okay, and some habits are contributory for our emotional well-being, in the sense emotional maturity or spiritual growth. When I say spiritual growth, I mean the mind becoming conducive for, condition of the mind becoming conducive for this spiritual knowledge is called good habit. And some habits become actually stagnating. No, stagnate, style, can't make, pave way for stagnation of the spiritual growth. So we say that those habits, we say bad habits. So here the good habit or bad habit, when it is there, the vasanas become stronger. Or when such certain habits, which we know we don't want to, but we are helpless, because the habits always become stronger, more powerful, that one cannot use one's willpower. In fact, one has to use one's willpower to manage one's thoughts. But the thoughts, you know, the stronger the vasana, and sometimes the one cannot manage the thoughts, and the thoughts become what now? In sense, the becomes action, action becomes a habit. Isn't it? I become a habit. Therefore, the willpower, even though willpower is there, sometimes it's very difficult to, habits are more powerful, that willpower becomes, you know, sometimes incapable of, you know, really breaking the bad habits. That is why one has to make a deliberate effort to change those habits. And how can one make effort to change the habits? Only if a person has understanding. The understanding means the importance. There must be the conviction, I should change this habit because it is not good for my spiritual growth. It's not a big crime, but still it is not, once it is the value of knowledge, it is the purusharthan nischaya, it's the value of knowledge, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, and seeing the value of mind being, you know, pure and steady. All this understanding, born conviction alone, can help one to make effort, what now, even to change the habit. So the more you try to change the habit, the vasana also will know. That is how, even though vasana is there, vasana itself becomes managed. You know, it becomes managed. It's not that vasana is not there, okay? Whenever, simple example of coffee, okay, an Indian coffee flavor comes and then you feel like drinking coffee, not feel like, really love to drink the coffee. But what happened, there's a vasana. Can't say vasana is not there. And there's a very strong, very habit from childhood. But still, once you know cholesterol is very high, there's no other go, sugar has to be given up, you know, to reduce the fat. That understanding, born conviction, what now? Vasana is very well managed. You can't say vasana is not there. So that vasana doesn't manifest as a thought, desire. You know, desire for coffee is not there. But still managed. Isn't it? It's called vasana. Vasana management. So vasana tyagaha shamaha. This we have discussed last class. Letter damaha. You what know? Bahya vritti naam nigraha damaha. I already told you, nigraha means destruction, nigraha means suppression, oppression, control, everything, restrain, so many meanings are there, but you should take it as a discipline, isn't it? So disciplining of sense organs. Sensory discipline is called damaha, that means sense organs are meant for the enjoyment of external world of objects. They have to be used for perceiving objects, but they must be appropriately used. So, okay, that's why they avoiding the overindulgence of these sense organs in sensory objects. So, taking care of how much one should use, see, hear, eat, taste, etc. Where should one do, when should one do, how much one should do, you know, what one should do, etc. What one should see, what one should, how much one should see, and how, where one should see, when one should see. This, taking care of these things, where, when, how much, how. Now, it can be seeing, it can be eating, it can be hearing. So taking care of one's, this sensory, the functions of sense organs, the sense, sensory discipline. Intelligence of using of sense organs. Actually, one has to take care. This is called sensory discipline, it's called Dhamaha. Okay? The simple, we may think it's a simple thing, but sometimes we have no. Okay. Thereafter, we'll go to the next one. Third discipline is this, third and fourth. Uparamaha and Titiksha are discussed in the verse number 7. Actually speaking, we're not talking about the giving up of desires. Okay, because he reads, I just happened to read this book. I don't know people who translated, who transcribed this book. I mean, somebody who were, sometimes people, when they do the editing work, and they want to make sound better, so they use their own words, and the book, it comes as something different, isn't it? Abandonment of desires. Isn't it?
That's called turning away. This book is called turning away.
Turning away. Okay. This says abandonment. Okay. Doesn't matter. So, Vishaye Bhyav Paravrittihi. Vishaye Bhyav Paravrittihi. Paramo paratirhisa.
Paramo paratirhisa.
Sahanam sarva dukkhanam.
Sahanam sarva dukkhanam.
Titiksha sa shubha mata.
Titiksha sa shubha mata.
So, vishayebhyah paravrittihi. No, I'm not talking about the turning away for a next one. I'm talking about the samaha. First I told you, earlier I told you about abandonment is for the desires, I said. That is why, how can you abandon desires? You too read the next line, isn't it? Okay. Vishayebhyah paravrittihi. Parama uparatihi sa. Hi sa. Uparatihi, I told you, is a feminine gender word. Therefore, sa uparatihi. That is called, that indeed is uparatihi. Sa, hi, uparatihi. Uparamaha is a masculine gender word. Anyway. And parama uparatihi, what is vishayebhyah paravrittihi? Paravrittihi means what now? Avrittihi means repeating. Once you have done some action, you repeat it, it's called avritti. Now, but paravritti means what now? You withdraw yourself from doing it. So, involving oneself in an activity repeatedly is called avritti. But paravritti means withdrawing oneself from the activities. And vishayebhyaha means what now? From objects, but not objects, we shouldn't take the objects here, from activities actually. Uparatihi. Yeah, activities, why say vishayaha literally means object? But taking one's attention from objects means what actually? Then you do not work towards those objects. Avoidance of activities for certain things. But here paravritti, you have to know, withdrawing oneself from the activity, other activities. No? Other activities means what? No? Focusing on attention on one's own duties. Simple thing. What should you do? Focusing on attention on one's own duties helps one to withdraw one's attention from other activities. For example, we have different types of karma. Vihitam karma, prescribed duties. Nitya karma, daily duties, or vihita karma. And then one has to do. Vihitam karma, the prescribed duties, or nitya karma, the daily duties one has to do. And then nishiddham karma, pratishiddham karma, no prohibited actions. One has to definitely withdraw oneself from prohibited actions. By using shamaha, dhammaha, etc., one has to withdraw oneself from what? Prohibited actions. Papa karmas. Isn't it? Prohibited actions. And also, there are karmas and pratishiddham karma, prayaschitta karma. Prayaschitta karma means a karmas done for neutralizing one's, you know, papa karmas. If you become conscious of avoiding pratishiddha karma, then you don't need to do prayaschitta karma also. If you do wrong action and you have papa karma, then you have to do prayaschitta. If I spill something, I make it dirty, then I have to clean it. So taking care of not spilling is what now? Avoiding this, wiping away. Like that, avoiding prayaschitta karma, we have lots of parihara karmas, and we have the neutral activities, the karmas performed mainly for neutralizing our inevitably, unknowingly done papas. Prayaschitta karma. So one can avoid prayaschitta karma if one can avoid pratishiddha karma. Isn't it? Pratishiddha karma. For which one should also do what now? One has to involve oneself in nitya karma, vihitam karma, one's own duties. And if a person involves oneself, initially involving oneself only in one's own duties, thereby withdrawing oneself from unwanted, unnecessary, you know, our other activities, which are not one's duties also, like paradharmaha bhayavaha. Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Shreyo, he here, swadharmaha, swadharme nidhanam shreyaha. One has to do one's duties, even one has to die, it's better to do one's own duties. But paradharmaha bhayavaha. What is not your duty, one need not do. One has to do one's duties first. Therefore, this is called actually commitment to one's own duties, understanding one's duties and becoming committed to one's duties, my God. So here, this is paravrishyebhyah paravrittihi, means not turning away from objects. So vishyebhyah paravrittihi parama uparatihi sa. Isn't it? Sahanam sarva dukkhanam titiksha sa shubha mata. Sarva dukkhanam sahanam titiksha. Sahanam means forbearing. Sahate is the verb, sah is the dhatuhu root, and sahanam is a gerund. You know, sahanam, like gamanam, patanam, sahanam. Sarva dukkhanam sahanam. So, endurance of all kinds of pain, evatna sarva dukkhanam, is called shubha titiksha. That is really titiksha. And titiksha, why he calls the parama, shubha, etc., really, it is really auspicious thing to have titiksha. It's like having some wealth. That is why sampatti, shatka sampatti, says our Tattvabodha teacher. Shubha. Titiksha means endurance, being able to accept in every situation one's life, you know, and then putting up with that situation, being able to put up a situation is titiksha. And he only says, what is titiksha? But how to have titiksha is not said here. Atabodha teacher or here also, how to have shamaha, it is not said. How to have the maha, it is not said. What is the maha, what is shamaha, isn't it? So the disciplines are listed here. But how to have those disciplines, how to develop those disciplines is not said here. That is why in Bhagavad Gita we discussed very elaborately how the discretion action is yoga. When you see, discretion helps one to be committed to live a life of values. So living a life of values and living a life of karma yoga and having proper attitude, that is why the karma yoga, if you understand, living a life of karma yoga, it's the one best thing, only way for us to have shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titiksha. All the six disciplines will be taken care of, especially these four, mainly shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titiksha. These four disciplines one will have these four disciplines if one commits oneself to live a life of karma yoga, understanding what it means by saying living a life of karma yoga. How to have shamaha, how to have damaha, how to have uparamaha, how to withdraw myself from unwanted activities, or how to involve only in my own duties, how to withdraw from other unwanted activities and things. Isn't it? It's just live a life of karma yoga. So titiksha, there in that context we understood no samatvam. If you have samatvam, is yoga. In karma yoga we talk about samatvam yoga. So having the equanimity, entertaining, being equanimous in all situations, remaining the same in all situations is samatvam, which is yoga, which is a preparatory discipline. Isn't it? How you can have that samatvam if you can look at them as prasada? And how you can look at them as prasada if you know those situations are ordained by natural law, Ishvara? You can see them as Ishvara, ordained by Ishvara, only if you know that Ishvara is law and order. And one more important thing is they all come and go. Bhagavad Gita, you read this. Agama apayinaha anityaha taan titikshasva bharata. Krishna talks in the second chapter. So they all come and go. Why they come and go? Yeah, that is the nature of everything in this. Everything in this world is what now? Transient. They come and go. Nothing is permanent. We know that. Therefore they come and go and they are ordained by natural laws, and laws are Ishvara, therefore unchangeable, but they come and go. So they say prasada. Then accept the same mind. And not only that, but you are really living the whole life, putting up all this transient, the changing situations for the changeless happiness. I think time-bound changing situations you are putting up, living this life, for what? Changeless, timeless happiness. This understanding really helps you to be able to put up with situations. Therefore, titiksha also, everything is possible only if there is purushartha nischaya. If a discipline, the four disciplines become assimilated, four disciplines become lived, if a person lives a life of karma yoga, shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titiksha. For these four disciplines to be assimilated, one should one should live a life of karma yoga, and to be able to live a life of karma yoga, to know the value of karma yoga, one should be constantly involved in the study of shastram, and having 100% total faith in the words of the teacher and the shastram, which itself is called another qualification, other discipline called shraddha. Isn't it? Shraddha itself is possible. For purushartha nischayaha, you need shastram. And to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge, one should have shraddha in shastram. And to be constantly in touch with the shastra study, satsanga must be all the time there. study of the Shastram should be continuous. There's no time. How eating food is very important every day for survival. Because Radhiji is not important for him. So how important it is for one to eat food and drink water. Similarly, it's very important for one to be with the study also, Shastram. Because the Shastram alone all the time reminds you of, you know, this importance of the study of the living a life of Karma Yoga. There is Shraddha. So what's the next qualification of Shraddha? Then, so having total unflinching faith in the words of Shastram and teacher is Shraddha. We're going to see the next verse. And thereby what happens now? Samadhanam. Samadhanam means one can involve oneself in any activity, in anything, but one constantly reminds oneself of one's purushartha, being moksha. It's called being focused. Okay, samadhana means being focused. Being focused means what? Being conscious of what one's life is lived for. It means moksha being the ultimate end, should be always kept in mind. Okay, moksha being the ultimate end, keeping in one's mind all the time that moksha being the ultimate end is samadhanam. That's called focus. Isn't it? Being focused. So we'll see the next verse. Nigamacharya vakyeshu bhakti shraddheti vishruta nigamacharya vakyeshu bhakti shraddheti vishruta
chittaikagryam tu
sallakshye
samadhanamiti smritam.
What is Shraddha? This last two disciplines he discussed here in the 8th verse. Bhaktihi Shraddha iti Vishruta. Bhaktihi, A means what now? Literally Bhaktihi means love. You know? Bhaktihi Shraddha. Love for, isn't it? What now? Nigamaha. Shastram. Nigamaha means Vedaha. Then, Acharya Vakyeshu. Acharya has teacher. So here, firm devotion to the Shastram and the teaching. Shastram and the teaching means the teacher. Because teacher and the teaching are not seen as two different things. Therefore, this firm devotion to the teaching and the scripture, Shastram, is called Shraddha. The firm devotion means what? Faith. Total faith. It's because definitely it is important for one to have faith in what the Shastram says. Because Shastram helps you to analyze your own purusharthas. Come on, what do you want? Why do you want this? This you want because you want to be secure. This you want, it's natural for you to want these pleasures. This is karma. And this is what is dharma. And this is what actually you want to pursue these things. Why? Because what you seek ultimately is happiness. This is what is moksha. Therefore it's a choiceless end. Who tells us? See, when before one becomes exposed to study of the Shastram, one knows one wants happiness. And one is searching for happiness. But one does not know that one is searching for happiness. Without knowing what you are searching for, before you are exposed to study of the Shastra. See, the search is beginningless, search is endless. But the search will, for this, search is always there. Search has been always there. Search on the part of human mind has been there always, beginninglessly, endlessly. But when does this search come to an end? The search is actually the expression of one's, this is the cause of, the search is in fact, the search alone causes the agitations, the restlessness, all our the thoughts are in fact expressions of one problem of searching. You analyze why these thoughts are. Any thought, in fact this called mental disturbance itself. See, thought rises means mind is disturbed. Disturbance in the stillness of mind is what? Thoughts. Manifestation of thoughts. Manifestation of thoughts in the mind is nothing but disturbance in the stillness of mind. And what is that the cause of, what is that which really causes disturbance in the stillness of mind? So the thoughts come. If a smallest stone thrown into the still water causes ripples and waves. Similarly, what is that causes the disturbance in this stillness of mind? No, basically search. Of course, you know the root cause, ignorance and all. We have big list, isn't it? Then ignorance is there, and then ajnanam, then adhyasa, ahankara, then adhyarupa, then the wrong notion, I am small. The notion gives rise to desires. Then this how desire comes into, this how mind gets agitated. We see the ignorance is the root cause of the disturbance in the stillness of mind. But here if you see, therefore there's a search comes. Leave the agyam and all that. The search is there. Search for fullness. Search for happiness. Search for freedom from limitations, limitlessness. That search has no beginning. That search has no end. And the search is something unavoidable, inevitable, isn't it? Helplessly everyone is searching. The search, if the search is not there, there is stillness. If the search is there, there is disturbance. Stillness is peace, disturbance is restlessness. Is it clear? Why there is search? Search is, that's all. And therefore, there's a helplessly search being there. The search alone is response for all the mental disturbance, all forms of thoughts and all forms of activities and this is etc. But this search never comes to an end until one becomes exposed to the Shastram. One cannot know what one is searching for. The search will never come to an end if you do not know what you are searching for. So to know what I am searching for very clearly, thereby to search what I am searching for, then put an end to the very act of searching, what now is very important for one to be exposed to the study of Shastra. It is the Shastram which helps you recognize acknowledgically what one is really searching for, which is otherwise called Purushartha Nischayaha. And what is your Purushartha Nischayaha? Purushartha Nischayaha itself is what? Being firm in knowing one's end, being moksha itself is accepting the Shastram. Having faith in the words of Shastra. Why? Because what Shastra tells you does not contradict your reasoning. Does it contradict your reasoning? When it says you are searching for happiness, when Shastra says, and you analyze and say, yes, what I want ultimately is happiness. It doesn't contradict your reasoning. Because what Shastra helps you to understand what you're searching for, and thereby when you come to know that you're searching for happiness, and when you see your Shastra does not contradict your reasoning. Therefore, first you have faith. If Shastra says something which contradicts your reasoning, definitely you will not have faith. And therefore, the first thing, you have faith, and second thing, Shastra says what the fact is, what that happiness you are searching for is not to be searched at all, not to be attained at all, accomplished at all. It is already there. Therefore, it is something to be known. Therefore, knowledge becomes the end. Knowledge and moksha become what now? Identical. Happiness and knowledge are simultaneous, therefore they become identical. And this knowledge again, you know, is what? Not in the form of knowledge of an object, but knowledge of the very you, the one who is searching for. The searcher himself or herself is what? The one who searches, the searcher is the sought. That also is revealed by the Shastra. So all these facts, one or the other, when the Shastra says. And to how to discover the searcher, how to search for the searcher. That method also Shastra teaches. And so for that, what, how to prepare the, what is the conduce, how the mind should be, how should be the mind be. Therefore, what should be the disposition of the mind, that also Shastra tells. Therefore, the Shastra tells means, and Shastra doesn't come and speak to you by itself. I'm sitting in the corner, in the cupboard, come and take me and read it. Shastra doesn't tell. Shastra consists of words. Shastra is nothing but words which are unmanifest, which do not convey anything. They are dead, actually. The Shastra's words become alive when they are spoken out through, you know, by the teacher. They're unfolded. So the teacher and Shastra are not two different things, actually. The teacher, he gives life, isn't it, to the words of the Shastra. Therefore, what now? That's for Shraddha. If you do not have faith in the Shastra and the teacher, in the sense, not any teacher, I mean the Shastra, the teaching, then nothing in the world can protect you. Satyam. That is why there is a Guru Gita. And it says, that verse is, Shive Rushte Guru Strata. When Bhagavan is very angry with you, Guru is the protector. When Bhagavan is angry means what? Bhagavan is angry means Shive Rushte Guru Strata. Bhagavan gets very angry. When Bhagavan's getting angry means when your actions are in against dharma, your actions transgress dharma, and Bhagavan in the form of law and order determine pain. The Bhagavan in the form of law and order determining pain as a fruit of your wrong action is called what? Expression of Bhagavan's anger. And you go through pain and suffering in life. So whatever pain and suffering one goes through in life, that is what? That is expression of Bhagavan's anger. Then you are putting up with Bhagavan's anger, isn't it? Then what happens? Oh my God, I cannot stand this pain in my life, suffering in my life, and I go through one or other lots of problems in my life. Who ordained? Is it? Law and order. Why? Because of your own papa karma. Then what happens? You run to the teacher And the teacher teaches, come on, where is your problem for you? You have no pain at all. There's no dukkham for you. And you search for happiness. You are happiness. How can happiness go and search for happiness? If sugar goes and searches for sweetness, you know, the sugar search will be endless. Similarly, if you are happiness yourself, and happiness goes in search of happiness, that is why search never comes to an end. Okay? And really speaking, Bhagavan is not angry, and there's no problem, there's no pain, and it's all within the realm of relative, empirical, material, prapancha, and you are distinct from all these problems which exist. Bhagavan, teacher doesn't say there's no problem at all. Problems are there, they're all within the realm of material world only, but you are distinct beyond, isn't it? You are distinct from this material world and this material problems within the realm of material problems. You are affected by the problems existing within the realm of ignorance. You are pure knowledge and you are fullness. Teacher has protected you from Bhagavan's anger. It's called being protected by the teacher from Bhagavan's anger. That does not mean teacher is superior to Bhagavan or anything. We understand. It's a nice, beautiful way of putting it. Shive Rushte Guruhu Trata. Bhagavan is the protector. The Guru is the protector from going through all the problems one goes through as a result of Bhagavan's anger. But Gurau Rushte Kopina Trata. Nobody else can protect you if Guru gets angry. That means Guru is not supposed to get angry. Guru will never get angry. Gurau Rushte means one, not Guru's anger or anything, one being not able to have faith in teachers, the teaching. Guru is the teaching itself. One being not able to have faith in teaching prevents one from, isn't it, living, accepting, understanding the teaching. See, the faith is not there, you cannot listen. Not only you cannot listen, you cannot understand. Not you cannot assimilate, you cannot live what the Shastram teaches. Therefore, Guru Rushte means not being able to accept the teaching. But so, faithlessness in Shastram, once you have no faith in Shastram, ko pinatrata, nobody in the world can protect you. Is it clear? Therefore, and it is the faith in the words of Shastram which will help you to have Purushartha Nischaya, which will help you to have commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, which will help you to have Antakarna Shuddhi and Naishchalyam, which will help you to commit yourself to live a life of Karma Yoga, to understand what Karma Yoga is, to have Shamaha, Dhamaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam, to have the disciplines, to be able to live a life of Karma Yoga, to know the importance of Karma Yoga, and thereby to have the mental purity and steadiness, and to know the value of knowledge, to know the value of moksha, to see the connection between knowledge and moksha, to know the limitations of for everything, it is important for one to have faith in the words of the Shastra. Once you have faith, and you will never ask, how long should I study? No question. When should I study? No question. Where should I study? No question. Oh, I try all my best to spare my time for Shastra study. And I never ask, when should I end? Until Jnanam, you don't question. Keep on studying repeatedly, even though it is repetition. And one thing, the sadhi serves its purpose of being blessed with the knowledge, then you don't need to, you not question, should I study now? I've got the knowledge. You don't need to ask the question again. Without asking the question, you drop, isn't it? And without asking the question, you continue to study. When you ask, how long should I come for the classes? How many years should I study Shastram? The very question tells you, you feel so bored and tired of studying, you don't want to study. I mean, you want to finish quickly like any crash program, you want to have this also done. Okay, why is Shraddha? Is it clear now? Nigama, Nigamaha means Vedaha. Nigama, Acharya Vakyeshu, Bhakti Shraddha. It's a commitment to what knowledge and the teacher is Shraddha. Having unflinching faith in the words of Shastram and teaching is Shraddha. Okay, then this is also discipline. This is the basis for any other discipline. Then, last one, Chitta Ekagriyam. Chitta Ekagriyam is what now? Chitta Ekagriyam. It's called this and the anyway. Chitta Ekagriyam to Sat Lakshye Samadhanam. Iti Smritam. What is Samadhanam? Sat Lakshye Chitta Ekagriyam. Sat Lakshyam is what now? What is the Lakshyam here? Lakshyam is the end. That what is to be accomplished. What is the destination, the end, the goal is called Lakshyam. The goal is Lakshyam. And what is your goal? Isn't it? So here, the goal is Lakshyam. And Sat means what? Existence, reality, Sadvastu. Sat means Sadvastu. The absolute reality. So goal, what is the goal of life? You know, goal of life is discovering the absolute reality. Discovering the absolute reality is in fact discovering what freedom is, what moksha is. There are two different things. Knowledge of the reality is knowledge of moksha. Knowledge of moksha is attainment of moksha. Isn't it? Therefore, what am I living here? What am I doing here? One may be involved in number of activities, but one is always focused. One never forgets this fact. I'm living this life, doing so many things for one thing. It's called ekagriyam. Ultimately for one thing, I'm living here. And to live my life, I do hundreds and thousands of things. Every day, getting up from the morning, from the bed, and until you go to fall asleep every dinner in the night, whole day, what your mind is doing, what your sense powers are doing, what your physical body is doing, you're so busy, you're involved in so many things, so many interactions, and so many things are being done every day. So it's like that, every day, doing so many things, every day, after day, after day, after day, after day, the whole life is lived. But in every fraction of second, whatever you are doing, constantly, one has to remember that once the purpose of living this life is only for only one thing. Isn't it? Only for one, accomplishing one thing, I'm living this whole life doing so many things. It's called Ekam Eva Agre. Lakshyam, Ekam Eva Lakshyam Agre Asti. Only one thing is in front of me all the time, there's only one thing in front of me. I'm living this life for what now? Moksha. I'm living this life to discover moksha. I'm living this life to discover the reality. I'm living this life to discover Bhagavan. Bhagavad Swarupam. I'm living this life for this alone. I'm doing so many things for living this life. But I'm living this life for this alone. This is called ekam. Okay? Ekam eva lakshyam agre. Okay? It's only one goal in front of you all the time. It's called what now? Chitta ekagriyam. Chitta ekagriyam. That means one should know. End must be one for one. If the ends are too many, then there's no ekagriyam. Bahu things, there mean bahavaha vishyaha agre. Hum ends are may bahu or ekam. It should be very clear. If ends are many, you are Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says Bhagavad Gita. So here ekagriya means, chitta ekagriya means, this is bahushakaha, na avyavasayinam, isn't it? Vyavasayinam eka buddhi. Avyavasayinam bahushakaha anantaha. If the end is clear, only one end. The end is not clear, so many ends. So here, that is why, ekam eva lakshyam agre. In front of me, always I say I have only one end, one goal. That one goal is moksha, one goal is jnanam, sad. Sad vastunaha jnanam. Is an absolute reality is my end. And that firm knowledge that the ultimate end is only moksha in the form of knowledge is what? Samadhanam. Chitta ekagriyam. Sad lakshe chitta ekagriyam. In accomplishing this knowledge of the reality, being focused as the only end is what now? That's called samadhanam iti smritam. Okay? So with this, sixfold disciplines are over. And the ninth verse presents the last fourth qualification. Let us read it. It's not difficult, so we can enter the text act proper. Text it tomorrow. Samsara bandha vinirmukti.
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 Katham syanme dayanidhe. Katham syan me daya nidhe itiya sudruda buddhihi
ya
sudruda buddhihi vaktavyasa mumukshuta. Okay, see, in Tattvabodha the noun was mumukshutvam. Mumukshutvam is a neuter gender word. Mumukshuta is a feminine gender word. That's all difference. Mumukshuta. See, mukshudhatuhu and mokshaha. Mokshaya icha mumuksha. Desire for moksha is called mumuksha. It's a desiderative word. And mumukshuta means what now? Noun, actually. So, mumukshuta means desire for, isn't it? Being endowed with the desire for moksha. Mukshu. This is called mukshuta. Being endowed with the desire for moksha is called mukshuta. That means, there we heard, moksha me bhuyat iti tivra iccha. We learnt it. No? Remember, oh, may moksha be there for me. That firm desire for moksha is called what? The burning urge for moksha is mumukshuta or mumukshutvam. And he says, sudrudha buddhihi. Drudha buddhihi itself is what? Firm understanding. But sudrudha buddhihi, what now? All the time there is a burning urge for moksha. Sudrudha buddhihi. All the time there is a thought. What thought? let there be, I should accomplish moksha, I should discover moksha, I should discover moksha, I should discover moksha. That burning urge for moksha. See, you, that burning urge is not possible if you do not know the value of what moksha is. Even to know the value of what moksha is, people come and I don't know whether I really want moksha, you know. People come and tell. That means we can sell, oh, you know, let them go and play for some more time and still let, not bad. They have to become, yet to become mature. Nothing wrong. They're not bad people. They have to become mature. That's why it's said here, sudhudha buddhihi, dhridha buddhihi, the firm burning urge. Sudhudha means what now? Nothing can come and make you forget that. That burning urge for moksha is sudhudha buddhihi, mumukshuta. So here, He Dayanidhe, O Lord. He Dayanidhe. Dayanidhe means what now? O abode of compassion. Whom can you address as He Dayanidhe? Only Lord. Okay, He Dayanidhe, O Lord of embodiment of compassion. Abode of compassion. Samsara Bandha Vinirmuktihi Me Katham Syat. No, this bondage, freedom from bondage, samsara bandha vinirmuktihi. Anyway, doesn't matter, both mean the same. Nirmuktihi or vinirmuktihi. Better if you sit there, chair. Nirmuktihi or vinirmuktihi, you know, muktihi, nirmuktihi, vinirmuktihi, nirmuktihi, yeah. Nirmuktihi, not vinirmuktihi. Mean the same, okay? So here, muktihi. Samsara bandhat muktihi. And so freedom from vinirmuktihi means what now? Freedom for good is called nirmukti. Mukti means freedom. But nirmuktihi, vinirmuktihi means what? Freedom for good. Once you become free from bondage, again you don't become bound. That's called what? Vinirmuktihi. Okay. So, samsara bandha vinirmuktihi. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from bondage. Katham syat. How will there be freedom from bondage, O Lord? How can I attain freedom from bondage? That pleading, that prayer. The prayer itself is what now? The only prayer to Bhagavan is, O Lord, how can there be freedom for me? How can I attain freedom? That means what? That there's a burning urge for freedom, isn't it? Therefore, iti yadruda sudruda buddhihi. I should attain freedom. Instead of saying, O Lord, how can I, O embodiment of compassion, O abode of compassion, how can I attain moksha? How can I discover this freedom? Katham, no, katham vinirmuktihi syat. How can I attain? What is it? Samsara bandha nirmukti. How can I discover the freedom from bondage of samsara? This burning urge for this moksha is in fact mokshatvam. See, that is why one should know moksha being choiceless end. Choiceless. That means I had no choice. I had to discover moksha. Until and unless I discover moksha. Okay, so here, this moksha itself, no, I want moksha, O Lord, how can I discover moksha, that burning urge for moksha, that firm desire for moksha, isn't it? Is possible only if you know the value of moksha. If you do not know the value of moksha, how can you pray for moksha? So, this prayer for moksha itself is possible. Prayer for moksha itself is possible if you know the value of moksha. Therefore, he says, samsara bandha vinirmuktihi katham syan me dayanide iti yadrud sadruda buddhihi sa mukshuta vaktavya. Isn't it? That's what is mukshuta. That's what is desire for moksha.
Sorry, would you mind just going, just the unwear of that?
Okay. He Dayanide. So he Dayanide. Samsara bandha vinirmuktihi me katham syat. Iti ya sudruda buddhihi sa mukshuta vaktavya. I repeat again. He Dayanide. Samsara bandha vinirmuktihi katham syat me. Iti ya sudruda buddhihi sa mukshuta vaktavya. That has, okay, that means what now? Is what is moksha? That desire for moksha. That firm desire for moksha is mukshuta. If the desire for moksha is not there, nor the desire for moksha is not there, the firm desire for moksha is not there, then shraddha is not possible. And then other disciplines are also not possible. Other disciplines are also not possible. Viveka is not possible. Vairagyam is not possible. No qualification is possible if the basic, no? The moksha me bhuyat, that desire is not there, then shastra has no relevance. And the value of knowledge also is not possible. The desire for moksha is actually what now? Firm desire for moksha must be there, and which is possible only if a person knows the value of moksha, and moksha being a choiceless end. Moksha, is moksha choiceless end or not? We are still doubtful. Moksha is a choiceless end. You have no choice. The sick person, the doctor tells, is that you will die if you do not eat this medicine. Take this medicine. Taking this medicine is the only way means, I don't like it, very bitter, very difficult. This only choice, no choice. No choice. You had to put up with the pain of taking this medicine to save yourself. This is the only way. With medicine, never know, choiceless. Similarly, moksha, until you discover the moksha, okay, until you know that moksha is a choiceless, moksha is the end, choiceless end. Moksha is a choiceless end. Until I discover this moksha, I tell you my slogging will be continuous. Isn't it? So that's why moksha being the choiceless end must be very clear. Then one can what now? Once you know the value of moksha, then one can what naturally become committed to the pursuit of moksha. And that then all the time the constant, continuous, consistent, firm urge for moksha is there in one's mind. That's called a mukshuta. Okay? That is why mukshuta itself is discussed here as the one of the fourfold qualifications. Only then the study of the shastram has any meaning. Desire for moksha is not there and value of knowledge is not known. What is the study of shastram for? Anyway, we'll stop the class today.
The ending Avya for Vaktavya.
Pardon?
You know the ending Avya for Vaktavya.
Because Mukshita is a feminine gender word. Therefore Vaktavya. See, Tavir Anir affixes, when you add to the root, they also become adjectives. And therefore those always is part their potential, you know, the passive participles, etc. They take the gender of the noun. Suppose, vaktavyam, satyam, vaktavyam, mukshita, vaktavya, like that, in keeping with the gender. So, mukshita is a feminine gender word for vaktavya. Is it clear? So, it must be clear.
Ukta sadhana yuktena. Vicharav purushe nahi. कर्तव्यो ज्ञानसिद्ध्यर्थम् आत्मनः शुभमिच्छता सो आत्मनः शुभम् इच्छता पुरुषेण आत्मनः शुभम् मीन्स् वन्स् ओन् वेल् बीयिङ्ग् the one who is desirous of one's well being you really are interested in your well being okay Shankara says very seriously atmanaha shubham icchan means the one who is desirous of one's own well being one who really thinks of one's well being okay by a person who is desirous of his well-being. But the one who is interested in his one's own real well-being, one who is really interested in one's real well-being. Atmanaha shubham. Shubham means well-being actually. What is auspiciousness for me? What is auspicious for me? What is good for me? What is really mangalam for me? What is shubham for me? What is kalyanam for me? What is Bhadram for me? You know, one who is interested in one's own absolute protection. One who is interested in one's own well-being. One who is interested in one's own absolute luxury. One who is interested in one's own happiness. One's moksha. Okay? Atmanaha shubham icchata by such a person. Purushena. And what he should do. And also, who is this person? Ukta sadhana yuktena, the one who is also endowed with the qualifications enumerated above. Here two things, this purushena, okay, purushena by a person, by a human being, kartavyaha vicharaha, vicharaha kartavyaha, the enquiry must be done. I mean what now? This person has to involve himself in enquiry, analysis. Vicharaha kartavyaha. That means one should dwell upon, one should enquire into, or one should involve himself in introspection or enquiry. Vicharaha kartavyaha. Who should involve? For what? What's the purpose? Jnana siddhyartham. For the accomplishment of knowledge. Jnana siddhyartham vicharaha kartavyaha. One should meditate. One should dwell upon. One should contemplate on. One should inquire into. One should involve oneself into the enquiry of the nature of reality. For what? Jnana siddhyartham, for accomplishment of knowledge, for attainment of knowledge. But by whom? Who should involve oneself? Who can involve oneself in this enquiry for accomplishing jnanam? He says, atmanaha shubham icchata. Icchata purushena. By the one who really is interested in one's own well-being, one's own, you know, luxury, one's own happiness, one's own freedom. It's called a nalam virumbi. Okay. And how should he be? If a person is interested in his well-being, and he must already be endowed with these qualifications. And being endowed with the qualifications, and being interested in his well-being, the person should involve himself in what? Enquiry. For what? For accomplishing jnanam. Therefore, what is again, this verse reveals the connection between knowledge and moksha. Moksha is revealed by the term what? Atmanaha shubham.
Atmanah Shubham means what? One's own well-being. One's own well-being is called Atmanah Shubham, which is called Moksha. Your absolute good is what? Absolute good for one's, isn't it? Absolute good for oneself is one's own Moksha. One being free from all powers and limitations. Therefore, Atmanah Shubham. Atmanah Shubham is the end. And Atmanah Shubham, the moksha, one's absolute protection, absolute well-being. We think we have different concepts of being well, isn't it? But here, according to Shastram, absolute well-being is what? Atmanah Shubham, actually Shubham is absolute well-being. One's absolute well-being is only in Jnanam. If you want Shubham, if you want auspiciousness, if you want limitlessness, if you want happiness, for you, if you want to revel in luxury, then absolute luxury is what? Only Jnanam. Knowledge is happiness. Therefore, Jnana Siddhyartham, that sentence says what now? Jnanam and Moksha are identical. For there is no Moksha, there is no way of one being absolute, one's well-being is not outside of, not other than knowledge. Knowledge is Moksha is revealed. Knowledge and Moksha being identical is revealed. This verse. Is it clear? And for that knowledge, for knowledge is moksha, and for that knowledge, one should do what now? Vichara. And for vichara, one must have what? Disposition. For the disposition, what one should do? One should be endowed with the qualifications. It presents the order. One should be endowed with the qualifications in order to have the contemplative disposition of the mind. And contemplative disposition of the mind will help one to be contemplative. And contemplation will result in knowledge. Knowledge is moksha. I got the order? This order is presented in this verse. Now he's going to talk about the importance of vicharaha, enquiry, for which we need to understand what is enquiry into what, etc. We'll see next class.